Frank and Marge had been married for years. Years. And they're sitting on the couch, and Marge looks at Frank and says, "Frank, don't you think it's time that you go and get your eye appointment? Your vision isn't what it used to be." "Nah, I'm fine," says Frank. But Marge protests, "But Frank, your vision's been getting worse and worse. Won't you do it just for me?" Well, Frank rolls his eyes. They've been married long enough. He knows he's not winning this one. So he says, "Fine, I'll call the doctor right now and make an eye appointment, but he'll tell you I'm just fine." Marge, with a sly grin, retorts, "No, I don't think he will." Frank, thoroughly frustrated at this point, snaps, "What makes you so sure?" Marge gently places her hand on Frank's and says, "Because you're trying to call in the appointment on the TV remote, dear. What you see determines what you can do. What your vision allows you to see determines what you can and cannot do, right? Can you call the eye doctor on the TV remote? No. Your vision has, your physical vision has a deep impact on what you can do or not do physically." Well, the same thing happens in every other area of life, whether that's personal vision, corporate vision, or even here as a church, our own vision. So we're going through a series where we are examining our vision. We are seeing what needs fine-tuned in our minds and hearts to align with why God has called us here. We need to have a clear vision of our mission. And this is the mission God has given Grace. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by serving our community, seeking the lost, and growing as committed followers of Jesus Christ. You'll notice the words have various colors to them. If this is your first time here with us, that's great. You get to see the heartbeat of Grace. If this is your 500th time with us here at Grace, that's good because we need a refresher. I need to be reminded of these things on a day-to-day basis. But we believe, very first and foremost, Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God. You could put a period there, and that's our mission. How we accomplish that, though, the vision, is by serving, seeking, and growing. And each of those words are in a specific color for a reason. Those colors have a specific purpose. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you learn better with pictures than just with words. So here's a picture of that. That first phrase, "we exist," Grace Baptist Church, we've connected. That is the most apparent, it's the most obvious, it's on the surface. Everybody sees that we've gathered together here this morning, there's some sort of connection. But undergirding that, we talked about last week, is glorifying God, that every act we carry out that shows the goodness of God is an act of worship. These two things are the bedrock of everything we do here at Grace. Now, it also displays itself in the three different pillars of serving, seeking, and growing. Now, let me make it very clear. Everybody should be doing every one of these pillars to some extent. But some of you are going to favor one over the others, and that's okay. There's going to be those that might serve more and not necessarily want to go out and evangelize to the lost. That's fine. You should be doing so in some extent. So as we're discussing this, this is the picture of how it all works together. Over the past weeks, we have seen that we are here to glorify God and that we have connected together. Because if you have just glorifying God but no connection, you have an individual Christian, but you don't have a church. You have a part of the church, but you don't have the church. And if we are connecting without glorifying God, you have a club, not a church. You have a community, but you do not have a Christ-connected community. And that's exactly what we are as a church. So today we are looking at that first pillar on the left with a symbol of hands holding out a heart. This represents serving. God has called Grace to serve Tyrone and the surrounding community. Light is represented by the color yellow. And when light shines, it doesn't make things true. It simply exposes the truth. It correlates illumination and knowledge. This is the light pouring out to reveal reality and give a clear perspective of truth. The church is called the light of the world. in Christ is light, and life was the light of men. We shine the light of the gospel when it lives itself out in our lives through humbly serving others as Christ did. Now, before we move forward, I want you to understand what we mean by the word serve. This doesn't mean necessarily donning a towel on your waist and washing each other's feet, though it may look like that. It may take on that symbol. It's simply this: using your skills and resources to help others, to meet a need, whether perceived or not. You're using your resources and skills to help others. I don't know about you, but I want my life to count for something. I want it to count for something significant. And if possible, I want it to count for something for a very, very long time. If I can help it, for eternity. We at Grace, what we are doing here, we want it to count for something for eternity. And I believe part of that is serving others. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we'll be starting in verse 15, reading to verse 16, where he says this: "People do not light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Jesus calls us to shine the light of the gospel, but how does he call us to do that? That they may see your having all the right answers? Oh, no, sorry. That they might see your church attendance? I'm sorry, I misread that. That they may see your, say it with me, good works. What is the ultimate purpose behind this? And give glory to your Father. Now, wait a minute. What's the key purpose here at Grace or any church for any Christian? To glorify God. Our good works are not just good works for the sake of good works. Let me ask you a rather loaded question. Can somebody do good works if they are not a Christian? Yes. Can somebody do good works that bring glory to God if they are not a Christian? No. This is exclusive to us. We need to ask ourselves some serious questions. Why do we serve? As a church, why do we serve? Is it because if we're afraid if we don't, people will leave the church and then we end up with nothing? Do we do it to compete with the other churches in town? Should we do it to compete with other religions, like Islam, that uses service and charity as one of their main outreaches? You want to know why Islam is one of the fastest growing religions in the world right now? They are amongst the most charitable people at first. They'll get you later on. Should we do it so that we look good or we feel good about ourselves? You know, I just can't live with myself if I don't serve. Should we be doing that? Certainly not. Remember, our first principle is to glorify God. It cannot be about us looking good. So why do we serve? First and foremost, we serve because serving pleases God. We serve because serving pleases God. Serving the people God has called us to is an act of gratitude to God. It is actually worship in action. Remember, when we are worshiping, we are declaring the goodness of God, and when we are doing good, we are expressing and showing a demonstration of God's goodness. Jesus tells us this just in the next chapter, verse 1 of chapter 6. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Then he goes on to say, "Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So if you are serving for applause or for appreciation, we are actually missing out on the real opportunities that God has given us. A lot of what we do does not come with an announcement that you did it. No award, no trophies out in the hallway that you did it. Instead, we have the approval and applause of God. And that is more fulfilling than the approval of any other person. I can tell you that personally. There is nothing more satisfying than laying your head on the pillow, knowing there are people angry at you for doing the right thing. And yet, by God's grace, you know that you have done the right thing. And you have His approval. Friends, if you have the approval of God, no other approval really matters, does it? Because here's the thing. I can clap, and if we are serving for that, your reward dies as the last echo reverberates. But if we are doing for the glory and the applause and approval of God, that lasts for eternity. Oh, His wrath may last through the night, but His joy comes in the morning. It is eternal. So as Paul said, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. That word heartily means giving it all you got, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. You need the approval of no one else but your master. I know of no servant in history who's ever told their master, I'm not serving you anymore because so-and-so didn't appreciate what I did for you. It's our master that we're serving. We're ultimately not serving the people that we're serving. We're serving Him, showing how good He is. We serve to please God. So ask yourself this morning, has God called me to act and serve in a particular area? Am I doing the things that I do to get the applause of others or to serve God? How can I please God in the midst of this? By the way, there is a reason that serving pleases God, and it is the second reason that we serve. Serving imitates Jesus. When we are imitating Jesus, God is pleased because we were reflecting the perfect, righteous, holy image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Remember what we said in our connection message, that it is what defines us, that unites us, and our connection that to Jesus that causes us to connect to each other. And Jesus says that if we are connected to Him, we are going to serve like Him. In the last meal before He was to be the ultimate sacrifice in serving us, He says to His disciples, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. We are imitating Him when we serve each other. Jesus is telling His disciples that, in fact, all those who would follow Him because of their testimony, that since He is our leader, we do as He does. It is the world's longest and greatest game of follow the leader. Ever. Whatever He does, we do. And Jesus says of Himself that He did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Paul himself says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And Christ came to serve. He came to be the suffering servant of Isaiah. And much like worship, serving is so much deeper than external actions. It includes it, but it is an internal reality. It starts with an inward reality, a serving mindset and heart set. Paul tells us what that heart set looks like. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped or held on to and used to His own advantage. But He emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. When we serve, we follow the example of the ultimate servant, Jesus. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. It was not Good Friday, and he goes, oh, yippee, today's the day. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. The night before he died, he begged the Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. In other words, this is going to be a huge sacrifice, and humanly, I don't want to make it. Yet, he knew this was his purpose in this life, and he submitted his will to God's, humbly serving us and God in the most extreme way possible, which brings a significant point when it comes to service. When you volunteer, when you serve, you're not just going to get up what you signed up for and what you think you should be doing. If you try to pick and choose what you want to do, it's not others you're serving, it's not God you're serving. It's yourself. It's your own sense of self-worth, of being needed, or a way to appease your conscience, but you're not actually serving the other people or God. If God is your master, he gets to call the shots. There are many things we who are in leadership would rather not do, I'm sure. Many things that we are uncomfortable with. Many things that you who have served have sacrificed time. I watch the Awana workers. And I'll be honest, I see it. I know that's not easy. The whining, the picking, the fighting, everything. Quite frankly, I admire you for it. It's a sacrifice, I know. But you have willingly answered the call to serve. I am sure, Susan, it is not your desire to shove boxes in other boxes, to put in boxes, and then ship them. But it's a sacrifice, and I appreciate it. But God sees, and many of you do other things that require sacrifice and discomfort that others might not see. The master sees. And you've recognized he gets to call the shots. He gets to be boss. When we serve, we are simply showing God that he has complete control over our lives, that he owns all of it, and that he can do whatever he wants with it. Our service has the dual purpose of serving God and serving others because we care about people, and we care about people because God cares about people. You want to know if you're a loving person, a caring person? Question is, are you a serving person? That's the ultimate demonstration of love and care. Caring people are serving people. We are saved for this very purpose, to serve others with our good works. The Bible's pretty explicit, and I'm going to read several passages, so just carry on with me. They won't be up on the screen. Just listen along. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be, where we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. By working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's the very purpose of our salvation. It would be so amazing if God could just save us and in that moment translate us into his presence in glory. But he has us here for a purpose. Why? I can only think of two. To serve and to seek. I could glorify God much better with a glorified body. A glorified tongue. But when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, I'll sing, and then a more nobler song, I'll sing his power to save. Friends, we are here to serve the people that God is reaching to and then seek the lost that God is calling to. God has called us to serve, to embody Christ's love and humility to everyone that we encounter. So as you serve, ask this question of yourself. Is this coming from a place of genuine concern for others? If not, question those motives. I would much rather have you not serving because it would be a farce than serving poorly with that farce. So this morning, again, I did not plan this. I would much rather have a wireless mic where I can walk around, use my hands a little more freely, and not be stuck behind a podium. But it wasn't working. So I use what works because this is the genuine thing. This will work. This was advertising. Oh, yes, I'm doing what it should be. I should be. All the lights were on. It said I had full battery. But for some reason, it didn't have the right internal situation to work. I think God is much the same way. That we can work poorly with the right motivation and it pleases Him. Not if you're intentionally working poorly. But if you are, I'm not the best teacher. But if it's in your heart to teach, teach. Oh, you don't understand. I can't really sing that well. But if your heart's in it, brother and sister, sing. Join in the choir. Do a special. So what if you can't carry a tune in a bucket? Carry our souls to God. Serve. Use the gift God has given you. Because with the right motivation and the right heart, trust me, the gifting will follow along. The skill set will follow along. You'll learn. That's great. Because if it's coming from a place of genuine concern of others, then by all means, serve. Because you're imitating Christ. Ask yourself, do I serve to make myself feel better or to better others? Yes, you will feel better as you are serving. You will not feel comfortable if you are called to serve until you serve. But if that is your motivation, oh friend, there is something so much better. Because when you can see someone's life change, when you can see that smile across their face, when you can see their heart drawn close to God because you simply offered a word of encouragement or you helped with something around the house they could not do, my friend, you will not be satisfied until you see that happening again to better others. Am I caring about people like Jesus did? Are you doing it because you love that person? When we do that, when we are fulfilling a major part of our purpose here in this world, because Jesus told us this in our passage this morning, that serving shines to the world. When people see the serving Savior in you, when you act in a way that pleases God, not self, people will take notice. Like a beaming light on a dark night, Jesus, the true light, who gives light to everyone, tells his followers in our passage this morning, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What is the light? It's both the good word and our good works. I've often heard it put this way. Evangelize whenever you have the opportunity. If you must, use words. You must use words. But our words and our works must agree. We as Christians, as I said before, we are not the only ones who can do good works. So maybe you just did that good thing. You helped the neighbor bring in their groceries. You served in the local charity. Maybe you did those good things because you're just a good person. But when your words back it up, I do this for one reason and one reason only, to glorify my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is shining the light. It shines out in this dark world. So we serve to be a light. Look, God is busy about his work of glorifying himself in this world. And he wants to involve you in that. He wants to give you a part of that light. He wants to include you in his plans of orchestrating meetings between him and the people he is calling. That's why we let our light shine. This is a work that has an eternal result. Eternal value, an eternal benefit. What other work could you say that about? I can't think of any offhand. And we're doing it like no one else in the world can. Paul says in Galatians 5:13, you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We're doing something that no one else can do, Christians, because we alone in this world are free. We are free, and that freedom gives us an opportunity to willfully serve one another, to humbly search out ways of meeting needs of the people around us, not under compulsion, not for some reward, but freely as an act of love. Service is love displayed. Caring people are serving people. Jesus said this, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I think he had a little bit more than kind affection in mind when he said that, because the people see it. They see that you have love. In the early church, they would either get you healed through the power of the Holy Spirit, or they would care for you until you pass from this life to the next. They served widows, orphans, and outcasts of the first century. They knew there was a refuge called the church. Friends, it is a great shame today that while many orphanages and hospitals, they started with Christian backgrounds, now Christians are being outdone in charity. This ought not be so. We are still the most giving people. But who should be serving the most? Those who are not in the freedom of Jesus Christ to serve out of love, or those of us who now have that freedom and have been served in the greatest way possible through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? So we serve. We are helping everyone take the next step, because caring people are serving people. That's why we serve. But how? How do we do this? How do we serve? It's all great talking about service, that it does all these things, but how do we do it? How can we serve? Well, if we look again at Galatians 5:13, it actually tells us a bit of that. "You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." The very fact that Paul is writing this verse lets us know something. It's not natural. You don't tell people to do what comes naturally. I do not, as I stand before you, I do not have to tell you, now inhale, now exhale. Now inhale, now exhale. Do you know why? It comes naturally. This is not going to come naturally, and especially because this is not the only place we see something like this. If it does not come naturally, it must, by force, come supernaturally in the freedom Christ provides, as we see here. Serving goes against everything that our heart is telling us about ourselves. Serving takes humility when our heart is telling us we should have pride. Serving takes consideration when our heart, sinful as it is telling us we shouldn't consider anybody but ourselves. Service takes sacrifice when our heart is telling us to hold on to what is ours. Service does not come naturally. It must come supernaturally. And that comes from freedom. I loved that hymn, that chorus that was chosen. "His strength is perfect when our strength is gone." I'm not saying you need to serve in your own strength. Quite to the contrary, we need the strength that only Christ can provide to serve in the way Christ is calling us to. It is in his strength. It is in the freedom that he has given to us. Any area of life in which you experience freedom, in which there's strength, there's abundance, that is an area that God has designed us to serve others. If you have a freedom, you have an opportunity to serve. If you have free time, free money, free space, free skills, free anything, he didn't give it to you to be hoarded and kept for a rainy day for some time in your future. He intended it to be shared and spent on someone's rainy day right now in the present. Your freedom is meant to serve someone else's need. As Paul puts it in his letter to the Corinthians, "If the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that, as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may, someday down the road, supply your need, that there may be fairness." When we have an abundance, it's meant to be shared with others. It might be a physical resource, but there is one resource that I can think of that is most precious. Your presence, your time, your being there for each other. Those things, that freedom is meant as an act of service. Serving each other means using our freedom to serve those whom Christ loved enough to purchase with his own blood. That is why the church is beautiful and why serving her is a glorious privilege. John Wesley, who is the father of the movement we know today as Methodism, he had a rule that put together the practical commands of Scripture on serving. It would be a good one to memorize. Look this one up at home. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Let me say that again for you. I think our hearts need to hear it. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. This is a very realistic and encouraging challenge. It's creative, a good rule to live by. Notice the word repeated at the end of each phrase, that you can. We recognize everybody has their limitations. I'm not expecting you to all of a sudden have a big old S on your chest, unstoppable force right here, superhuman. No. There's limits to energy, limits to resources, limits to time. But God has given you those things to do good to others with. Or as Paul put it in his Galatians, the very next verse of chapter 5, verse 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to know how you can serve, ask yourself one simple question. What would love do? Caring people are serving people. What would love do? What would I want others to do for me? If I were in this person's situation, what would I want others to do for me? Now, I know that's a little bit different. Some situations, you're sick. I would want someone to come and sit and drink tea with me. Meanwhile, I don't want anybody seeing me like this. I want them to leave me alone and let me sleep. That'd be great. Turning my phone off. Different personalities. So maybe I would want them to call and see what I would want. Something to that effect where you are looking and asking that question, even just a phone call, that care and that concern can be significant in a person's moment of need. We can also ask ourselves other questions like, what skills has God given me? What resources do I have? What are my strengths? What am I aware of as a need around me? I'm convinced that God does not allow you to see a need just for you to notice it. Believe he means for us to be a part of the solution, that he has given some abundance for that. When you answer those questions, I'd encourage you to follow Peter's directions. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. God did not give you a gift for you to sit on it. He didn't even give you a gift to make you look good, make you feel good, even to make you draw closer to him, though that is a glorious byproduct of it. He gave you a gift, a talent, an ability for you to exhaust it for the sake of showing this world how good and wondrous he is. Now, in your bulletin this morning, you received this. I want you to take that out. There's two of them. That's in case you and your significant other share a bulletin. Both of you have one. And you'll notice on the front it says shape. God has shaped you for a particular purpose. He has given you a spiritual gift, a talent, an ability, a resource that has been turned and geared towards the service of God. He has given you a heart, something that you are passionate about, something that you see as a need, something that you are not comfortable with until it is completed, something that you are burdened for to see changed in this world for the glory of God. He's given you a heart for it. He has given you abilities, something that you can do and it comes naturally, whereas to others it's a challenge. Perhaps it's a skill that you have learned. Perhaps it is simply something that you're born really good at doing. He's also given you a personality. Not all personalities are fit for every task. For instance, if you have the spiritual gift and are more prone to confrontation, counseling might not be a great fit. Comforting those grieving might not be a great fit. And in like manner, if you are very careful and you caring and sensitive and you're very good at keeping the peace, I would say counseling might not be for you. Because there are times when people need a loving confrontation. Or if your personality is, I don't do very good with rushed details, kitchen might not be good for you. We need to have the personality fitting everything. And then your experiences. You know how certain things work, or you have an experience yourself being a recipient of a specific thing and you know the value of it. That can provide motivation. God has shaped you to serve in many ways. That is how we serve. By using the strengths God has given to us in shaping us for His glory in helping others. Finally, what does serving look like? What does serving look like? Well, as we go through this, the commitment level is going to reach higher. The more you serve, the more commitment there is. So let's see how it fits into this picture. Remember, we are looking at the first of those three pillars, and they are built in four sections. The very first is church service. That's ushering, that's greeting, that's people simply handling things in this building. Maybe you help out with parking, maybe you help out with food. Those of you that have been helping in those various areas, I'm not downplaying that. I'm saying this is a service that is absolutely vital in a church setting. This is more in-house things. But this is stuff that we do together. Then there are things that we do in the community. Things that we as a group have decided we are reaching out to the families and to the loved ones in our community, our friends. This is outreach events, hands and feet type ministry, community cleanup events, needy meals, local missions, things where we are serving those not part of our church body here at Grace. But then there is individual service. I recognize full well that many of you serve and you are part of Grace, but it's not formalized by the deacons or elders or myself or anybody else in Grace. God has just called you to do something and you have answered the call and do it. This is one of the highest forms of service. Nobody knows you're doing it. You are the man behind the curtain. They don't see the person serving. And that is beautiful. This person is a self-starter. They're reaching their neighbors. They're able to serve on their own without supervision, without any sort of provision. God has simply called you to do it, and you do it. But the ultimate goal is for us to be a servant leader. This is perhaps the most challenging because this is a call to leading others in service. Organizing groups, serving those in your care, serving people who are serving people. That means things might not be done to your standard, but that person is learning how to serve, and you're teaching them. Sunday school teachers, who's helping you teach? Let's have an assistant, somebody in place that can help you with it, that someday, Lord forbid, you're sick and you can't make it, and it's Sunday morning. They know exactly what to do and can step in. Those of you serving in the kitchen, who knows what needs to be ordered and needs to be put together? Or handling the meals. What about deacons? Who knows how everything is organized? Those of you in children's ministries, who is serving alongside you and knows, okay, this is how we handle situations with children. Partner up with someone. Take someone under your wing. This is the ultimate goal of serving those who are in the level below. For those of you who are already volunteering and serving in these ways, I just want to say a hearty thank you. I'm not talking about you this morning. I'm not trying to challenge you. I want to encourage you that God has you serving as part of his kingdom work in this world. You have answered God's call to serve, and without you, what happens here at Grace would not happen. Period. It wouldn't be possible. Our church wouldn't exist. You have sacrificially given of yourself, and I want to take a moment to recognize that. I know you don't do this for the applause, so I'm not going to ask you to stand up and receive that applause, but I want you to know your service, your sacrifice does not go unnoticed. If it is unnoticed by me, I promise you this, it is not unnoticed by God. And if it goes unnoticed by me, it's okay to tug on my shirt sleeve and say, hey, pastor, just so you know, so I can praise God for what he's doing through you. I do know this. Many of you are doing things. Many of you are serving in many ways, much of which is unnoticed. And I want you to know that it is a rare privilege as a pastor to know some of those things, to be able to see it. Now, if I were to ask those serving to stand up, if you would have been left sitting and could not stand with these people, let this be an encouragement to you. This is not a naughty, naughty, do better message. No, this is a call to something far better than coming in, sitting, listening, leaving. They come, they listen, they leave. No. If you're not participating in anything else, you are still serving. I want you to understand you are still serving, even if you do nothing else other than coming in and listening. It's yourself that you're serving. And that's not necessarily wrong. There is a time when your wounds are so deep, when your problems are so great, that that is what you need. That is okay. But that is for a time. That is meant for a chapter. If you go to a hospital because you are sick and you remain in that hospital for the next decade, something is wrong. You're not healing. That needs to be addressed. That needs to be handled. But if you are willing to serve, if you are willing to step up and be healthy in your walk with God, then you're answering God's call that he's given to us to shine a light in this world. What if someone needs you? What if God has given you a gift that is intended for somebody else and they've been missing it because you've been missing it? You have the opportunity to serve something bigger than yourself, something that will last beyond your lifetime, something that will make an impact on eternity. The only reason we are here today at Grace is because 152 years ago, three churches decided to come together and plant First Baptist Church in Tyrone that then became Grace Baptist. They sacrificed, they served, and people came. Oh, and by the way, that church only exists because there were people who were willing to die in the Colosseum and be thrown to the lions as kibbles and bits for this truth. Friends, we are called to join in their ranks, to shine a light to Tyrone, to Warriors Mark, Sinking Valley, Bellwood, Tipton, wherever God has placed you, to be a light in that community by serving. And if nothing else, one of the greatest ways to serve is through prayer. We have a prayer list. We have prayer meeting on Wednesdays. And praying together and for each other is bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2 says. That is a great service in prayer. Now, at this time, I want to take a few minutes for us to fill this out. and I want you to place them in the offering plates as you leave. Some of you are already serving in this. You can even put in the space down below, already doing these things. That'll help me out quite a bit. But there are many areas here that we see there is need. At Awana, we need one-on-one helpers. I know our events team, we need people who are gifted simply at thinking through details and able to organize things. A thought person. Our building trustees needs help. We have many areas in here that if you have a specific skill or a resource that God has given you as he has shaped your life and you want to answer that call to be part of something greater, I'd encourage you to fill this out and place it in the offering plates as you leave that are right by the doors. And we'll get you in touch with the right person to be able to coordinate those things. Let me take a moment to pray, then we're going to fill those out. Be reflective, be humble, be honest. And ask yourself right now, ask God, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to take the next step in this journey towards becoming a servant leader this morning? Pray with me. Our God and Father, the ultimate servant, the chief servant, Lord, I pray that you would lay on our hearts clearly how you have shaped us to serve you. Lord, may we, right here in this moment, sense your calling. Spirit, would you guide us that we would see the gifts and the abilities you have given to us, the resources you have made available, the abundance you have brought into our life that we may turn and bless others. May we be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.